Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hi, this is Pastor John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, where we teach those who teach others. So grab your Bible, pen, and notebook as we look at Luke chapter 10 and the return of the 72. So here we are, Luke chapter 10, verses 17 to 24. Before we do that, let's pray. Father in heaven, your word is your truth. You have written your Bible to give us light and understanding, hope and encouragement in our walk with you. Now we pray that you will open up the pages of Scripture so that we may behold Christ and his truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's look at the passage now. Luke chapter 10, verses 17 to 24. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. In that same hour he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then turning to the disciples, he said privately, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. So here we have the disciples that have come back from their mission. They've come back from their mission trip, going ahead of Jesus from village to village around Israel and proclaiming the gospel. And as they have come back from proclaiming the gospel, taking no money or sandals, greeting no one along the way, and preaching the kingdom of God and healing the sick and casting out the demons, they have come back and said, Lord, this was an astonishing time. We saw miracles. We saw this. We saw that. And even the demons are subject to us in your name. So the name of Jesus is powerful. At the name of Jesus, everything in heaven and on earth and under the earth must bow on that day, though not everything as yet has been subjected to him, because we know that we are heading towards the end times and a rebellion against God. But at the end of it all, everything will be subjected to him who is the Son and who has glory and who is the King of kings and is the Lord of lords. So we find that the demonic realm, the realm of the unclean spirits, is subject to us in the power of Jesus' name. When we operate in the power of Jesus, we can cast out demons. Now, this is a change in the spiritual realms from the Old Testament, where we did not see people casting out demons. We didn't find Jeremiah casting out demons, or Moses, or anyone else. They certainly proclaimed the word of God in truth. They were certainly had the Holy Spirit upon them, but they didn't have the power that Jesus gave to the disciples and to the apostles and to all who believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we have this power? You see, we have this power because of what Christ has done on the cross, and the disciples were entering into that slightly before the cross, but Jesus had given them this power. He was able to do that. He gave it to them freely, but it is ours freely through the cross. How is that so? You see, when Jesus died on the cross, we died with Christ. When Jesus rose from the dead to new life, we rose with him because we are in him. When he ascended into the heavenly realms to sit at the right hand of the Father, we were in him. We are seated in the heavenly realms with him. Our life is hidden in Christ with God, and we are now seated in the third heaven with Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, as we know, is far above all power and principality and every name that's named. He has been seated there in the heavenly realms, and we are seated there with him. Not because we are good, but because God is gracious and has chosen to put us there because we have faith in Jesus and we are in Christ and we go where Christ goes. And so when Jesus returns to earth, we will return with him as part of his army. And when Jesus rules and reigns for 1,000 years, we will rule and reign with him, not because we are good, but because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God has taken us from the guttermost to the uttermost. He's put us up high in the heavenly realms, and we can rebuke demons by faith in Jesus' name, not in our own spells, not in our own witchcraft, not in some device that we've come up with, but simply because of the name and power of Jesus operating in God's will to do God's things, we can rebuke the demons and cast them out. Because we have been given authority. Remember, Jesus gave them authority. It's a free gift. You don't earn it. It's a grace gift that you get from being in Christ Jesus. The authority is bestowed on the Christian, and we have to use that authority to destroy the works of the enemy, because Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. So the 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. So when you rebuke the demons, you rebuke them in the name of Jesus, and do so with power. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. In other words, over the region that they were proclaiming the gospel, the devil was being cast down. And this was a precursor to Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured through the hole in the heavenly realms. It was generated by the revival that had gone on. All the revival that had gone on under Jesus had weakened Satan around the area of Jerusalem. And so when Pentecost came, when Jesus had ascended into heaven, when a great spiritual triumph had been obtained, when Jesus took captivity captive, and then he was able to send the Holy Spirit, to pour out on the Holy Spirit all over the people at Pentecost so that they could see and hear the work of God. Well, Satan fell from heaven like lightning. In fact, Satan is always, in a sense, falling. Satan started off in the third heaven as an anointed cherub of God. He rebelled. He was cast down to the second heaven, where he was for most of the Old Testament. There in the second heaven, he set up false religions like the religion of Baal and Ashtaroth and all the wicked religions of the Old Covenant. And they were constantly fighting against the Jewish religion. But from the second heaven, he ruled over the world in darkness and deceit. But Jesus came and he died on the cross. At that point, he fell from the second heaven to the first heaven. Because there's three heavens, the third, the second, and the first. The first is where the birds fly. The second is where angels do battle. And the third heaven is up in around the throne of God. And so Satan is now prince of the power of the air. And we find that mentioned in the book of Ephesians. And I think it's the start of chapter 2. So Satan is the prince of the power of air. And he is still falling because that is his nature. He rebels eventually. He will be cast down to earth after the battle of Michael the archangel in Revelation 12, and he will be forced onto the face of the earth, and he will become the Antichrist. He will become a human body. The Antichrist will rise up, and he will fail, and he will be cast down eventually into the pit and locked up there for 1,000 years. He will try and rise up one last time, but after that, he will be cast into the lake of fire. So every time that you go out and proclaim the gospel with signs and wonders and spiritual authority, you are helping God. You are helping God push Satan down. You are helping the Lord Jesus Christ, using the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to take the devil and cast him down. And we need to cast down the devil from the heights of arrogance to which he presumably wants to go, because he always wants to rise up. But we, the church, through our prayers and through our obedience, and through our sacrifice and through the things we do and taking up our cross daily, we shall destroy the works of the devil in our village, town, city, and neighborhood. So This is Satan fell from lightning from heaven due to this missions trip. And then he says, behold, I've given you authority, that's spiritual authority, to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. By serpents and scorpions, it's a metaphorical thing for dangerous spiritual beings, toxic people, demon-possessed people, and all the rest of the world of demonic toxicity around us. It's not talking about go out and play with a cobra or a black mamba or some dangerous snake. It's not invoking some snake-handling cult like they have in one part of America here. We're not to play around and be foolish. We're not to go out and drink poison or handle snakes or handle scorpions just to prove our faith. It says, do not test the Lord our God. So don't go around playing with snakes or scorpions or poison in order to test the Lord our God. We're not to do that. Rather, this is symbolic, and it's saying that we have power over the powers of the enemy and nothing shall hurt you. Now, we are most strong when we are in a group, when we pray together, when we agree together. When the church is together, it is strong and it can resist the devil. And here the authority is given to the apostles, to the disciples, to destroy the works of the devil and to not be harmed by the devil. We know Psalm 91, that the righteous man is protected. Yesterday morning, I was walking down the steps. So we have 17 steps between the basement and the upper floor, and down the basement's the office. I was going down to the office and I tripped over a cat and I flew down about 12 of the 17 steps. I stumbled, rushed across the room and slammed into my computer holding my cup of coffee. And I ended up quite bruised, but I wasn't particularly hurt. I could have been killed by that fall. I thought, wow, that was dangerous. I went down 12 steps and zoomed, and it was just very, very quick and very dangerous fall that I had. And so anyway, so last night I was praying to God. I said, how did that happen? Why did that happen? Why did I have that terrible fall? And he said, the devil pushed you down the stairs. Yes, I tripped over a cat, but I also felt like a physical shove. The devil tried to kill me. The devil did not succeed in killing me because I am a child of God and God protected me. But it was still a very nasty accident. And we need to stay under the protection of the Lord Jesus Christ, stay in the place of God, stay in a holy place. Why did the devil attack me? Well, on the Sunday, I prepare this on a Tuesday. The accident was a Monday. Well, on the Sunday before, I was preaching about life in the Spirit at church. It connected with a lot of people. I felt it was a more powerful than usual sermon. And I think the devil decided to lash back at me, and often we get spiritual backlash. But we have to be careful. We have to be strong. We need to pray away the attacks of the devil because God really does protect his people and has protected me. I'm 66 years old. I've been in ministry for over 40 years. God has protected me all of that time, and God will protect you as well, and you can be bold in the work of God. You don't need to be afraid. Now, verse 20, it goes on to say, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. We are not to get so far into spiritual warfare and into casting down spirits and demons that we forget that we are children of the Most High God, that our names are enrolled in heaven. Never lose sight of Christ. Never lose sight of your dependence on God. In Matthew chapter 7, we find some people that get thrown into the lake of fire, and they say, but did we not cast out demons? Didn't he not prophesy in your name and do this and that in your name? And Jesus says, but I never knew you. Why didn't he know them? Because they had walked away from God. They'd walked away from their relationship with God. They'd walked away from being humble before the throne, and they had just become magicians instead of Christians. We're not to be magicians. We're to be Christians. And we're to know that our name is enrolled in heaven, that God has chosen us from before the foundation of the world, that we are his children and we are blessed to be of him. So first of all, we must be humble. We must remember that God has chosen us. We must rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we must not be workers of iniquity like those who preach for greed. Rather, we must be workers of righteousness and truth. And that's primary, is to be someone who preaches righteousness and truth to the people of God. Verse 21, in that same hour he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. Now, there's a lot in this verse about God being the Lord of heaven and earth, rejoicing in the Spirit, and many other things. But the one thing I want to bring out of this verse is that God reveals his truth to those whom he chooses, and he chooses, or tends to choose, those who diligently seek him. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened to you. And so on. So we find that as we seek after God, and they sought after God by walking with Jesus and obeying Jesus, as we obey Jesus, truth is revealed to us. And it says in the Gospel of John, if anyone obeys me, I will reveal the truth to him. It's the disobedient, proud people that do not get truth revealed to them. If we are simple-hearted, if we are good, then as we seek after God, and we don't just seek after our own pompous knowledge, but we seek after obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, precious truths and power will be revealed to us, and we'll be able to do the works of God. We'll be able to heal the sick, cast out demons, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, do the things that God has called you to do, or the various things he might have called you to do, leading a church or an orphanage or running an educational center. As you seek God, God will empower you to do the work. He will reveal things to you as you walk in him. But there are a lot of people, particularly the scribes and the Pharisees in the New Testament, who already thought they knew everything, who were very educated, who'd read the Old Testament scrolls, who sat under this rabbi or that rabbi and been to this seminar or that seminar, and they thought they knew it all already, but they did not know the power of God. They had a form of religion, but they did not know the power of it, and they thought they did know, but unfortunately, they did not. So these people were confused. They were puffed up with their own knowledge, and they did not truly know God. But the fishermen came to an understanding that the scribes and the Pharisees did not have, and they came to this understanding because it was revealed to them through the Father who is in heaven. Now, God reveals truth to us through the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we know the famous verse, but eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the mind of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And we take that verse, but the next few verses are also important. But God has revealed them to us through the Holy Spirit. You see, the things that mind does not know, or ear heard, or entered into the mind of man, these are revealed to us. How? Through the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost will give you wisdom, insight, and knowledge that the great scholars of this world do not have. Now, am I against scholarship? Not at all. I did 6 years of theological study, and they've helped me in my Christian leadership over the years. I know Greek and Hebrew and church history and many other things. I have known theology and studied a lot of theology, and it's been helpful. But it's no substitute for the revelation that comes from God, that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. So you need to study the Bible, and you need to know it very deeply and very well. But you need to also be open to the coaching of the Holy Spirit, who will teach you how to do the works of God, just as the disciples went out and they learned how to do the works of God under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Verse 22, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Now, the knowledge of God comes through a personal revelation, not just through studying a book, though the book can help you to reach that personal revelation. You need to come to a place where God is revealing Christ to you. And hear what it says here. All things have been handed over to me, that's to Jesus, by my Father. So he's operating under the authority of the Father. All things in heaven and earth have been handed over to Jesus. We find that in Matthew 28. And no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son. Only the Trinity know each other in depth, and not even the angels know all the depths of the Trinity. And anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him, to reveal the Father. Our knowledge of the Father comes through Jesus Christ. You see, it is through Jesus Christ that we know the Father. He who sees the Father, he who sees the Son sees the Father. So he is, Jesus and the Father are one, and if you behold the Son, you are then beholding the Father. But it's hard to see Jesus unless the Holy Spirit reveals Christ to you. So you need to pray for a deeper revelation of Jesus Christ every day. Lord Jesus, show me yourself. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus to me. For there is no other name under heaven by which men can, and women can be saved. That Jesus Christ is the only way to know the Father. He is the only way to know salvation. No philosopher, no other religion offers a true knowledge of God, the creator of the universe, except the Christian religion, except the faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. See, revelation of God, knowledge of God, is a gift that is given to us. It's an unattainable gift, for all the philosophers of the world have striven after truth, but they did not realize that it was in Jesus, in the cross. All those Greek people that Paul was preaching to, he said, where is the wisdom of this world? For the world by its wisdom did not know God. It was seeking after God, but it did not come to the knowledge of God, because it was through the foolishness of the preaching of the cross that we come to know Jesus and we come to know the Father. So you need to search after God with your heart and all your mind and all your strength, and saying, Lord Jesus Christ, reveal the Father to me, reveal God to me, and let that revelation burst out of you, and it comes often through studying the Bible. You're studying the Bible and you read a Bible verse and you say, aha, that is very significant. Look at that about God. I never knew that before. So you need to have a time of definite and clear Bible study so you can get into the Word of God and find the revelation truth for yourself. Don't try and make it up. Don't listen to this preacher or that. Don't chase after men. Chase after the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, and you will find a great revelation about God. Then in verse 23 it says, then turning to the disciples, he said privately, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. You see, this world is spiritually starved. There's a lot of people out there trying to find spiritual things, the prophets, the kings, the leaders, the people at the top of society, but they are spiritually starved. They do not see what the disciples saw, the casting out of demons, the miracles. They did not know Jesus personally. And a lot of people want to know Jesus personally, but they don't know it. They search this way, they search that, but it eludes them, and they end up in despair. They end up drinking or on drugs or committing suicide or writing books that are just full of nonsense, because they cannot, through their own efforts, come to a full knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so he's saying to the disciples, don't take this for granted. Don't take your spiritual experiences for granted. Don't take your miracles for granted. Don't take your salvation for granted. Don't take your knowledge of God for granted, because there are many people who would love to see what you see and hear what you hear. King David would like to know what the Apostle Peter knew. The prophets like Isaiah would like to see Jesus personally, but they didn't see him personally in their own day, in their own time. But the disciples did, and they went out on this mission trip. They saw mighty things happen in the heavenly realms, and Jesus is rejoicing that the disciples had come to a faith knowledge of God and were now able to use, by faith, the powers of heaven that he had bestowed upon them. And they were able to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and all the other things that he has put upon them, and to declare the kingdom of God to the villages of Israel. They were now useful to God. They had now succeeded in their mission. They had risen up by faith. And it is your faith and your knowledge of God that will equip you in ministry. You need to have a solid, real faith in the truth of God that is revealed in the Bible. And remember, your faith is in Jesus. It's not just in some magical formula for getting money or for becoming famous or for having a destiny in your life. They're the sort of things that Satan tempts us to. The knowledge of God is to help people, to help people who are sick, who are lonely, who are broken, who need Jesus Christ and who need salvation. And God's going to put the faith in your heart that you need to know God and to do the works of God for the salvation of many, and that they may be saved, that they may be filled with the Spirit, that they will be baptized in the Holy Ghost, that they will be healed, that their families will be put back together, that they will break free from addictions to drugs and alcohol. You will have wisdom from God to set people free as you know God and you know the power of God in your life through faith. And you are to treasure that knowledge. It is greater than earthly worldly knowledge. It's greater than the knowledge of kings and prophets and spiritual people. Your knowledge of Christ is the most precious thing that you have, and Jesus was rejoicing that the disciples had entered into a practical, real knowledge of God, that they had faith, that they were exercising their faith, and as they exercised their faith, they were seeing results. Remember, everything runs by revelation. The Son is revealed to you through the Holy Spirit. The Father is revealed to you through the Son. The Bible gives you the basis of that revelation. It gives you the outline you need to make sense of the revelation of God. Do not go outside of the Scripture. You are someone who wants to enter into the power of the kingdom. You want the power to tread on all the forces of the enemy. You want to be able to do the works of God with power. And for that, you need faith. For that, you need to trust God. For that, you need to press into God and to learn from God. And you will need to do the things that the disciples did. God will give you revelation. God will give you authority, not as a matter of your own works or of your own intellect or your own heart figuring things out, but because of your desire and your love for Him and your desire to serve God in many aspects of ministry. I want God to raise you up in power. I want God to give you the strength you need to overcome all the forces of the enemy. I want to see you cast Satan down like lightning from heaven. I want you to be a last days warrior in the work of the Lord. So God bless you. God strengthen you. God fill you with faith. This is Pastor John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do His work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.